Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the WGN Skyline studio. Joining me this morning is Illinois State Treasurer Michael Frericks from Champaign.
Rick, good morning.
Good morning. And he's marveling over the views over the lake here.
Yeah, I've been on your show several times on Michigan Avenue, but this is my first time with a view of the lake, the river, Navy Pier. You guys have some nice digs here.
Yeah, this is not a bad place. Like, we're going to have an air show party, I think, next time next year when they do it. It is beautiful. I do miss kind of waking up with the tempo of the city on Michigan Avenue, but you can't beat this.
It's a nice view. You get to see the sun sunrise over the lake here. It's a good way to forget a blown game last night by the Cubs.
Thanks for reminding me.
Well, you guys started this morning as I turned on the radio talking about the Bears and the Cubs. I think people like to start off a little more positively on a Sunday morning.
I try to be positive on Sunday mornings. I really do. I mean, you can ask anybody. I'm one of the most positive guys in the world.
Well,
you can hear that laughter going on in the background.
That's okay. I think Chicago sports are really trying to build character amongst people here. Character comes when you overcome adversity.
The winter will do that.
Yes, that too.
Well, enough about the Bears. Enough about the Cubs. And in fact, it'll be nice to watch football today and not really care.
Exactly.
Not be invested.
And I think when the right. Bears win next week, everyone will go back to talking about the Super Bowl. But this is a rough one, the way they lost to the Packers.
Stop. Let's
talk about something more positive, like politics.
Yes, indeed. Some optimism in politics. Well, yeah. Speaking of optimism in politics, you have announced that you're endorsing Elizabeth Warren, the Massachusetts senator, in the Democratic presidential competition. It's one of the first endorsements by a statewide elected official here in Illinois. Tell me why.
Yeah, it wasn't something I was intending to do. I actually decided that I was going to sit back and watch the field play out, and I would support whoever won the primary. But like a lot of people, I started watching debates and paying more attention to the candidates, seeing how they're running their campaigns, and she won me over. You know, I think we have lots of good candidates. This is not a reaction against anyone out there. There are lots of candidates I'd be happy with, but I think a primary should be about an exchange of ideas. You know, this is the direction the party wants to go. Who is going to lead this? What are they going to do? And too often, I see candidates who just put out platitudes, a few talking points or a slogan, and say, trust me, basically. I'm charismatic. And Elizabeth Warren has put out several concrete proposals to deal with issues like...
I've got a plan for that.
Yeah, that's become sort of a slogan, but it's because she actually has plans for these things that she impressed me. And she talks about issues important to me. In our office, we deal with financial institutions and abuses there. She helped to start the Consumer Protection Financial Bureau. Record of getting things done. We work on things like when life insurance companies weren't paying out life insurance benefits, and she's fought for consumer protection. We're very much concerned about the escalating costs and debt incurred by students in higher education, and that's another thing she talks about. So just gradually in listening to her and the way she ran her campaign, I decided it's time to get off the sidelines and choose a side.
So what do you intend on doing on her behalf here in Illinois?
Well, when I get involved, I like to go all in. So working with the campaign, I've offered when they need a surrogate somewhere in the state, happy to do it. If they need a surrogate throughout the Midwest, happy to travel to Iowa or to Wisconsin, Indiana, whatever they ask of me.
What kind of a infrastructure do these campaigns have, the presidential campaigns have in Illinois?
Well, I would say in Illinois, you don't have a large infrastructure. Most candidates look at Illinois as a fundraising base. They'll come into Chicago,
the ATM,
hold a fundraiser, and then leave with some money. That was the big one of the other big differences with Elizabeth Warren. She came in here, and rather than holding a high dollar fundraiser, she held a rally. 11,000 people signed up for tickets. They filled an auditorium with several thousand people with overflow space, and I just watched the way the crowd reacted to her. And I thought it was very important that she went out and talked to the people as opposed to the donors. That's one of the things. She has refused to have high-dollar fundraisers or to spend call time calling wealthy people. And my first thought was, well, that's a sure way to lose. You need to have money. And her response was, I believe if we go out and talk to the people, about real issues, the money will come. And it really is sort of a corrupting influence. It is tough to raise money. Not every candidate can raise millions of dollars online. But if you spend all of your time on the phone just talking to a small sliver of the populace about issues important to them, it will eventually skew how you view our problems and what the solutions are.
We're kind of in the same territory that we were, I think, 4 years ago of where goes the Democratic Party, and is now the time, and you even hear this from various candidates, Pete Buttigieg, for example, mm-hmm. Are people wanting a return to normalcy, or is there no such thing as normal anymore, and we have to move forward from that?
I think that President Trump has completely taken over and changed the Republican Party, and the way in which he did that is forcing Democrats to reevaluate and perhaps pushing the Democrats in some different directions. But I think the difference from 4 years ago is you now have multiple candidates out there really competing, hopefully, over ideas. You know, there haven't been a lot of attacks out there. The debates have, by and large, been civil. Yes, there have been some jabs out there. They tend to get the headlines. But really, they're talking about their plans, and I think that's ultimately good for a party every 4 years to have this discussion of where we want to go. I mean, I think it happens every 4 years, except when you have an incumbent in office. I don't think the Republican Party is really interested in a debate of ideas this cycle. Too many of them have just wholesale sold out to President Trump, and you now see states saying, you know what, we don't need to hold a primary, we're just happy with the incumbent. And I think that's dangerous. I still think that candidates have to go out there and to work and to tell people what they're going to do for them. I think those conversations help to build support and excitement. I think it's a mistake on the Republicans' party to just skip primaries.
I just gave the numbers in the new Washington Post ABC poll that do show that Elizabeth Warren showing an increase now, and it seems like we're evolving into a top, kind of a top tier, and then everybody else. Although it's early. Yes.
It is very early, and every time someone quotes polls to me, I'll tell you that 4 years ago or 3 years ago, we had all kinds of polls that said Hillary Clinton was a lock, that Donald Trump could not win. And they were wrong.
And
if you look 16 years ago, around this time, Howard Dean had all kinds of steam and momentum, and he petered out, and John Kerry won. It is way too early. That being said, I think this momentum, the movement in the polls, is a result of her offering specific proposals, her talking about big systematic change. You know, we all see their problems out there. Republicans, Democrats. The middle class has been hollowed out. I mean, the stock market is not the economy. You can look and say the stock market is doing well, but too many Americans out there just aren't living at the level they were 10 or 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And what is the reason for that? The president will blame immigrants is the reason for that. Elizabeth Warren says there are structural problems here that we need to fix. Still very much believes in capitalism, but there we have a great inequality gap or income gap out there, and it's going to take not just a little tinkering on the edges, but some real structural reform.
As you pointed out, versus 4 years ago, where it was just Bernie Sanders, you now have more candidates that are, I don't want to say using his playbook, but are certainly taking similar positions that he took, and that he kind of proved and actually came very close in Illinois to winning the primary here.
He did. But I think more candidates, more ideas, more interest, more excitement. I think that a little diversity of ideas is also a good thing for a primary.
But at what point, or don't you feel it has to be this way, that it's been Bernie and Warren kind of playing nice on one side and Biden on the other, and at some point she's going to have to take on Bernie, isn't she?
Oh, I don't know. I think that I really believe if she talks about her issues and what she's going to do, I think she's going to attract more people to her. I think in a two-way primary, there are two things you can do. You can either lift yourself up or you can knock your opponent down. And those are your really two choices. But in a multi-field race, when you start taking shots at someone else, yes, you can knock them down a peg or two. But when you start throwing mud, some gets on you as well. And I'm not sure if one candidate starts attacking another that they're actually doing themselves any favors. So actually, I think this is probably not bad. There's a disincentive to attack too much. I guess if you're a second or third tier candidate who's getting no attention, throwing an elbow or a punch might get you a little bit of attention, but it doesn't make you look presidential.
We're speaking with Mike Frericks. He is the Democratic State Treasurer of the state of Illinois. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the WGN Skyline studio, joined by Mike Frericks. He is the state treasurer of the state of Illinois.
Yeah, we talked a little about politics, but I still have a job, and I do that frequently. We've had some great successes in our office.
Well, I was going to say, and frankly, we were talking off air about the issue of normalcy and whatever, and how, Illinois still has a host of fiscal problems. There's no doubt about that, but that we did kind of get back to a sense of normalcy, you know, having a budget, having an agenda that had some bipartisanship.
Some bipartisan on several things. You know, I like to tell people politics is the art of compromise. And this year, both sides compromised. For 4 years beforehand, we didn't see very much of that. And it really has been a nice change. There's been a very strong change in the air in Springfield.
Well, I mean, not to delve on this, but the fact of compromise in many respects to some people is a dirty word. You know, but how else do you get things done?
There was a time where we called Henry Clay the great compromiser. And that was a positive name we gave him, because at a time when America was deeply divided, ready to fight each other, he would find a way to craft a bill that both sides could live with and keep moving forward. Now, today, if you were to call someone the great compromiser, that would definitely be an epithet. You would mean it derogatively. But, you know, I grew up in downstate Illinois. I grew up in the town of Gifford, Illinois, in the middle of Compromise Township. And I always kind of thought that compromise was not a bad thing. It kept people from fighting with each other. You found a solution, found commonality going forward.
Well, let's talk about what you got through Springfield this year. You're batting 1,000.
It was a good year. I think that last year we passed 12 bills. The governor vetoed half of them. This year, I think we passed 14 bills, and the governor has signed all of them. What a difference an election makes.
So what got done?
Some of the things we were working on, well, we're purchasing a new building that's going to allow us to consolidate our leases in two different buildings. We currently spend about $800,000 a year in leases our Springfield buildings. We bought a building for $10. It was a great deal. It was a win-win. There was a bank in downtown Springfield. They acquired another bank. Chase acquired another bank. They had all this space for 180 employees, and basically turned it into a bank branch with 13 employees. They had unused space. No one was looking to buy it, and so they offered to sell it to us for $10. It was a great deal. But, you know, as I said, we talked a lot about higher education. We are the chief investment officer for the state of Illinois. We see all kinds of students out there graduating with tens of thousands of dollars in debt. Many of them can't afford to go out and buy a house. They can't afford to buy a new car. Some are deferring starting a family. And we think there's something we can do to help invest in student debt, to lower some of their costs, to help them keep a little more money in their pocket and to keep them from defaulting on their loans. So we passed legislation which allow us to do a loan program like that.
How can somebody take advantage of this?
We don't have it set up yet. We need to work out those details, but previously, the treasurer didn't have that opportunity. So we're working with the governor's office. This is something that Governor Pritzker is also interested in addressing. This is not going to solve the student debt crisis in our country. It's not going to solve the crisis here in Illinois. But we don't have to wait for that silver bullet to do something. I tell people, you know, I'm the chief investment officer. We invest money. We try and earn interest. You know, every dollar we can raise in interest, a dollar that doesn't have to be raised in taxes, or a dollar that doesn't have to be made in cuts to things like education. And someone said, well, how much did you raise? Well, I came in, we raised about $49 million the year before I came in. This last year, we made $310 million. That's great. Does that solve our budget problems? No. But, you know, you can't just sit back and say, well, I can't solve it, so I can't do anything. Everyone should roll up their sleeves and do what they can. And we think it makes the job of the General Assembly and the governor a little easier when we maximize returns.
I wanted to ask you about Secure Choice, which I think Illinois was pretty much a pioneer when it came to this program. Mm-hmm. If you'd explain the program and kind of where we're at with
Secure
that.
Choice is a retirement savings program through automatic workplace deductions. You know, we have a retirement crisis in this country. About half of Americans have nothing saved for retirement. You know, you cannot enjoy your golden years. You cannot have a retirement with dignity if you're just relying on Social Security. People know they need to save, but they don't. And do you know why some people are more likely to save than others? The greatest factor is if you have a workplace savings option. If you have a pension or a 401k at work, you are 15 times more likely to be saving for retirement than someone who doesn't. So what's the answer to help these people? Give them a workplace option. State of Illinois passed Illinois Secure Choice. People can have 5% of their payroll deducted, put into their own Roth IRA, managed by the private sector, because a lot of people said, I don't trust the state of Illinois to manage my retirement. I said, you're in luck. The state of Illinois is not managing your retirement. All we're doing is facilitating money coming out before you see it and put into your savings account, something everyone knows they need to do, but they put it off month after month after year, and we're just going to make it easier for them because the strongest force in the universe is inertia. A body in motion tends to stay in motion, and a body at rest tends to stay at rest. You know, once people start saving, it's easy for them to continue. It's really tough to get started.
So how many people do we have in this?
Well, right now, so we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of the rollout. We have 24,000 people saving who hadn't before. We have over $5 million in their savings account, and we're not done. We're doing this in waves. And the next wave, employers will be signing up in November with contributions coming out in early 2020.
So they can get more information at ilsecurechoice.com.
Correct, ilsecurechoice.com. Or anything, if they can't remember that, can go to illinoistreasurer.gov. And can find out information on our retirement savings programs, our college savings programs, or they can check out Unclaimed Property because we would love to put more money back into the pockets of your listeners.
And, of course, Unclaimed Property is, in a way, it's a fun thing.
Oh, it's like I get to play Santa Claus 365 days a year, always giving out money. We've set very ambitious goals with this program. I came in and too many people would say to me, Treasure, you have my money. And I said, great, I'd love to give it to you. I said, it's too much work. It's too much of a hassle. I don't want to deal with it. Well, it doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to the state. It's my job to get it back in their pocket. So we thought about how can we reduce some of those obstacles? How can we make it easier? We've made three big changes out there, which have allowed us every year in office to break records. I came in, we returned less than $150 million of our previous record. 4 years ago, we returned $150 million. The next year, we broke with $155. The year after, we returned $189 million, and this last year, we returned nearly a quarter of $1 billion, $240 million to people and businesses and nonprofits here in the state.
And people can find that information
at illinoistreasurer.gov, Unclaimed Property, or iCash. It's very simple. You go, you put your name in there and perhaps your address. I'd say if you have a fairly common name like Rick Pearson or Rich Pearson, you know, you might want to put previous addresses you lived at. But if you have a more uncommon name like Frericks, just put Frericks in there, and you'll see there are several out there who are owed money. They're not my immediate family. I have talked to them.
Did you find yourself on that list?
Well, I can tell you, my first day in office, I came in, and someone on staff said to me, Treasurer, you are now in charge of unclaimed property for the state. Why don't you begin by claiming your own? Someone had tried to send me money by PayPal years ago. I'm sure I got an email in my inbox. It might have gone to spam, or I might have thought it was spam, a Nigerian prince trying to give me money, and I clicked delete. I never claimed it. PayPal doesn't get to keep that money. Eventually, they turned over to the state, and eventually, it got to the rightful owner, myself. And we want your listeners to do the same thing. We find one in four people who check our website, find they have something that belongs to them. And last year, the average amount was $1,000. So well worth your time and effort.
Not bad. Real quickly, I want to ask you, as the chief investment officer of the state of Illinois, what is the state of the investment community right now as far as rates of return in this era of kind of low inflation, that kind of thing?
Well, you know, we have found ways to do things differently. I came from the General Assembly, the state Senate, and we said we want to maximize returns. We found we were investing with handcuffs on. There are restrictions to where I can invest. And we went to them and said, hey, can you take some of these off? And that's in my time in office, we have increased investment returns sixfold, six times as much. In the general investment community out there, I think there has been a good run, but I think there are a lot of signs out there that are giving people pause. And my fear is that if enough people get worried about this, in addition to this trade war, which doesn't seem to be helping our economy, in addition to various tweets that might send markets into a little bit of a tailspin, I think there's a lot of caution out there, and you could start to see that affecting as people are
lack of consumer confidence and the spiral goes. State Treasurer Mike Frerichs, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Rick, thanks for having me here today. Beautiful studio.
We'll be back with more right after this.